Sean Mice here for our From Fantasy to Reality training call. I'm excited today, and I would imagine you're here, you're excited too, to share with you some thoughts that I've had recently about this idea of getting our dreams realized. What's it take to go from the dream that you have to the realization of it? You've got this idea that you want to change the world in some way, whether that's through building a business, whether that's through a nonprofit, a charity, whatever it is. You've got a dream, a vision of making something big happen, but it hasn't happened yet. You're in the phase where it's a dream or it's a vision. Might I dare say in just a moment, it's right now, it's like a fantasy. And we'll get into that in just a moment. I want to get into the psychology of some of this so that you're able to get to the place where you can say, okay, I want to go from where I'm at to where it's a reality. You know, the truth of the matter is most people don't make their dreams a reality. Can I be negative for just a moment? Most people never make their dreams a reality. Most people get old and exit this earth without making their biggest dream a reality. And I believe that. You know, maybe you're at the place. You know, I've been at the place where my greatest dreams were nowhere near being a reality. And I'm a whole lot closer now. And Lord willing, I've got a good number of years to kind of finish up some of these dreams. You may be at the place where you're looking back and you've been banging your head against the wall for the last 5 years trying to make a dream or a vision a reality. You're working hard. You've been studying. You've taken courses. You've got a degree in something. I mean, you've got all kinds of things that are working for your on your behalf, that are working in the right direction to get you to where your dream becomes a reality. And yet, when you look at it, I'm not much closer. I may know a lot more. I may be smarter than I was 5 years ago. I may have learned a thing or two. I may even consider myself an expert. I may be an expert, but I don't have a following. I may be an expert, but I'm not making any money. You're doing all the right things to make your dream a reality. What gives? What's wrong? You see, here's the thing. When you're creating something out of nothing, let me say that again. Please don't get offended. When you're creating something out of nothing, it's not like going down to the local grocery store and filling out an application and saying, hey, will you pay me $20 an hour? Because, you see, when you ask somebody to pay you $20 an hour, you're probably not creating something out of nothing. You're putting stock on a shelf, or you're making hamburgers, or you're cleaning floors, or you may be the CEO of a big corporation, but let's face it, much of the time you're pushing paper or you're babysitting or you're motivating people to do things they ought to be doing without your help. I mean, let's face it, you're probably not creating something out of nothing. But when you have a reality, when you have a big dream, when you have a big vision, when you've got a big company that you want to create, a big corporation, when you've got a big nonprofit, you want to change a million children's lives, you want to get people out of poverty, you want to bring children out of orphanages, you want to do all of these things. You want to build a big website. You want to build a website that's going to change the world. You want to build a million-person website. Guess what? Any of the things that I've just described, the truth of the matter is you're going to have to create something out of basically nothing. Basically nothing. And here's the thing. You can have all the training in the world. You can learn anything in the world. You can get degrees after degrees. You can get certifications. You can go through certificate training programs. You can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on multiple coaching programs and all kinds of various things. And still, you're missing the core ingredient of making something out of nothing. Now, you may believe I'm harping on this idea of making something out of nothing a little bit too strong, and that's okay. We can mince the words if we want to. You know, we can take them out of the rest of what I'm talking about, but let's just imagine for a moment that you have nothing. You've been studying for 3 years. You've been studying for 5 years. You've been working hard. Maybe you have a domain name. Maybe you have a little website with 100 followers. But when it's compared to what you want to do, it's nothing. It's less than 1%. Might I submit to you, please don't get angry here, but might I submit to you that what you have right now is a fantasy. You have a fantasy. It's not, it may be a vision, but it's fantastic. It's a fantasy. Your vision is a fantasy. Your vision is like going to the movies and watching something that's not possible. It's like science fiction on a movie screen. Because that's how far away you are from whatever it is that you're going to do. And the truth of the matter, most people have tried to do what you want to do have probably failed in the past. So not only do what you have a fantasy, not only do you have to create something out of practically nothing, and if you have a little something, it's like a seed, it's a 1%. But the truth of the matter is most people have failed at doing this. So not only are you going to have to do something nobody has done before, not only are you going to have to create something out of nothing, not only are you going to have to go not just from vision or dream to reality, but you are going to have to go from fantasy to reality. And most people have failed before. You are going to have to do something that nobody else has done before. And here's the thing. I think some people were offended when I made this comment about I was going to show you how to go from fantasy to reality. I think a lot of people said, you know, well, what I have is not a fantasy. It's real. The truth of the matter is it's not real until it's real. You know, it's kind of like if you ever met somebody, you ever met an older person, somebody older than you, and they are dreaming about owning a little piece of land. And they've been dreaming about owning this piece of land for 50 years. And they keep telling you about what they're going to build on that piece of land. I'm going to build a big farm. I'm going to build an alpaca herd. I'm going to build a 100-story skyscraper. I'm going to change the world with this piece of land. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's a fantasy for that person, isn't it? Because if they've been staring at that piece of land for 50 years and they haven't done anything, that's a fantasy. That's not even a dream or a vision. That's a fantasy. Now, what's the difference between that and whatever it is that you're holding on to, that you're struggling, you're working hard at it, but you're no closer to reality or you're 1% closer to reality than you were 5 years ago? May I submit to you that if you continue to do what you've been doing for the next 5 years, and the next 5 years after that, and the next 5 years after that, in 50 years, if you're still here, you will look back and you will be like the older person looking at the land that they never bought, that maybe they finally put a down payment on, but they never do anything with it. Not because they didn't try, not because they didn't save money, not because they're a bad person, but because they weren't able to tap into something that allowed them to take their fantasy of building a skyscraper into reality. Now, folks, I know that I'm pushing some buttons here, and I know that you're chomping at the bit. You want me to give you the 7 steps. I'm going to get there. But you see, here's the truth of the matter. Can I be transparent? Can I? You caught me in a good day. You caught me at a good time. And hopefully what I'm doing with you today is going to push you to the next level. You caught me at a good time, and hopefully what I'm doing with you today is going to push you to the next level. Because the truth of the matter is, you, most of you, have heard me give you 7 steps to doing multiple things in the past, but they still aren't reality. You've taken coaching from other people. You've studied from other people. Probably 90% of the people that finally come to me are people that have tried other people repeatedly, and they finally come to me because I don't have all the bells and whistles. I don't jazz you up with super-duper graphics and get in front of your face and give you NLP suggestions on, you know, why you should join what I'm doing first, and it'll just instantly make something special happen. And so a lot of times people join all those instantly special things happening first, and when they get totally burnt out on it, then somehow they find me. And so I'm used to the fact that, folks, by the time they get to me, they've wasted, invest, shouldn't use that word, should I? They've invested, they've spent money, they've wasted money in many other different places. And so that's where you're at right now. And the truth of the matter is you probably almost all of you have invested with me in the past. And the truth of the matter is you've implemented some of it, but you haven't implemented all of it. And because you've only implemented some of it, you only have some of the results. And the truth of the matter is not only do you only have some of the results, but when you're looking at building something that nobody else has ever done before, if you only build 1% of the results, you don't have 1%. What do they say? Close only counts in horseshoes. Close doesn't count on a website. If you're close, you have nothing. Close doesn't count on a skyscraper. Oh, I just built the foundation. I built half the foundation. Look, you don't have a skyscraper. In fact, you could build all the walls for a 100-story skyscraper, but if you don't finish the building and make it fireproof and get you know the building codes authorized so people can walk in the door, you don't have anything. You may be making payments on your skyscraper. You don't have anything. Close isn't even there. Close isn't going to get you there, folks. 3 to 5 years of being close isn't going to get you there. You, may I say it one more time, and then we'll move on. If you're just close, you're still in the fantasy world. Today, I'm going to show you how to move it from a fantasy to reality. Now, some of you are, in fact, you're probably feeling right now, spent too much time on the idea of fantasy. Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. The truth of the matter is, what I'm getting ready to share with you, I'm going to share with you 7 steps to getting there. I can almost guarantee that you're going to pick one of those steps apart, and it's going to become the excuse for why you don't take your fantasy to reality in the next year. You know, point three, let me look at my list and my 7 steps written out. So some of you are going to get stuck on step 2. You may get stuck on step 5. What's going to happen is, you know how, you ever hear a story, maybe some of you went through boot camp or maybe you went through military school or maybe you went to, you know, an Ivy League school, and the speech that somebody gave you on day one was they looked around and they said there's 100 people in this room and 70 of you won't be here in 4 years. And that's pretty tough to take because you look inside yourself and you ask yourself, am I one of the 70? Am I going to be here 4 years from now? Am I going to graduate? In fact, my guess is that that statement alone makes some people quit. I would imagine that that statement alone makes some people quit, like right now. And in fact, some of you listening to me right now might hang up right now because you're afraid of what I'm getting ready to give you. Because the truth of the matter is, some of you are going to get to point 2, or you're going to get to point 3, or you're going to get to point 5, and you're going to say, that's not the way it's done. You know why you're going to say that? Because you're older and wiser and smarter than me. You've made more money in the last 10 years than I've made my entire life. Some of you have more life experience than me. Some of you are wiser husbands than I am. Some of you are wiser wives than my wife. I was going to say than I am, but that would sound weird. Some of you are much more successful as a CEO than I am. In fact, all of you are better at something than I am. You see, we're all better at something than anybody else around. I can put you in a room with 100 people, and every one of those 100 people is better at something than you are. Some people are a better shot than I am. Some people can cook better than I do. In fact, most people can cook better than I do. Some people can cook better than I do on the grill. Most people could probably cook better than I do using an oven. You can do something much better than I can. And here's the thing, your life experiences, tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you in the next 1 minute, if you'll write this down and you don't get anything else out of the time we spend together, it's been well worth your time and money. And if you don't believe me, just take my word for it. Some of you, based on your life experiences as a wise husband, as a wise wife, as a wise mother, as a wise CEO, as a wise leader, as a wise anything, as somebody that's made lots of money in the past. I've had people come to me before and tell me, you know, stories about how they've made $10 or $30 million in the past and then they had a bad experience and they lost it all. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I've never lost $30 million. But the truth of the matter is I've been through an awful lot of struggle, so I understand why they're saying these things. But they'll come to me with these stories about, you know, $10 million or $30 million. And because of that, it's like they have this right to have all the answers. And when I share with them what to do, it doesn't line up with their reality of how they did things as a CEO or as they did things as a school leader, as they did things as a teacher, as they did things as a principal in a school. But let me suggest to you that you're doing something that nobody's done before. And people like me, I don't want to say just me, but people like me in your world who have been successful doing something that's never been done before, who have been successful building a business like I've built, I'm not bragging, I'm just life experience. Just like if somebody's had 7 children, and I haven't had 7 children, and they raised them all to be upstanding, fine young men and women, they're able to say, look, Sean, you don't know what life experience takes to get seven children through their teenage years. Most of you listening to the sound of my voice have put children through their teenage years, and some of you have had a tougher go at it than other people. So let me say this, just like you might be able to say, look, I put seven children through college. I did this, I did that. You're not bragging, you're making a statement. I'm not bragging, I'm making a statement. In my business, by the power of God, in my business, I built something that was never done before. In my business, I've done things that have never done, been done before. I've empowered other people to do things. And by the way, I hate using the word I, but I'm going to use it for 2 minutes, but I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I'm going to give you, then please don't anybody be offended here, but I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I couldn't do any of these things I'm going to put my I to without the power of God in my life. Okay, I couldn't do it on my own. We've given a, God created us as, I don't want to keep going on this. I'm going to offend somebody. I don't want to do that. I'm not scared of it, but and I've offended plenty of people in my life. I'm not scared of it. So don't anybody say anything. But here's the truth of the matter. God created me with a purpose, and he's given me the ability to do these things. So everything I say in the next 2 minutes about I'm prefacing it by that. It's going to be an easy way to talk about it. The truth of the matter is I've done some things you haven't done. You may have seven children. You may have, you know, created a phenomenal community group. You may have built a skyscraper. You may have made and lost $30 million. But I've done some things that you've never done before, and that's why you're here. What happens is a lot of times we view the reality of other people as a fantasy. We view what other people are saying through our own lenses. If you've made and lost $30 million, if you've built a 100-level skyscraper, if you've raised seven children, and I give you the seven steps to doing something that you don't understand, you reframe that in your past life. And I don't mean past life like before you're born. I mean the last 20 years or 40 years of your life when you were a professional doing something, and now you're tired of being a professional, you got laid off, you got fired, you're afraid of getting fired, or you got retired, or you're afraid of getting retired, or you're tired of working, or whatever the case is, that you're turning to the Internet. For some reason, you're turning to the Internet. And for some reason, you're hearing the sound of my voice today. For some reason, you're tired of what you're doing. The truth of the matter is, when you hear things from me or other successful people that don't line up with your view of being a CEO or how you do things as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a skyscraper builder, a $30 million loser, yeah, it didn't come out right, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about. You made and lost $30 million. Whatever the case is and whoever you are, if you interpret what I'm getting ready to give you through your 40 or 60 years of wisdom and experience, and then you say, well, 0.3 isn't right or 0.5 isn't right, you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. And I just want to warn you not to do that. I want to warn you not to do that, because if you do that, you might as well stop listening to me. You might as well stop listening to other people that have been successful online, and you might as well just spend the next 40 years of your life trying to figure it out all by yourself. The truth of the matter is nothing you've done in life, if you're a veterinarian, if you're a dentist, if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, if you're a CEO, if you're an ex-CEO, if you're a burger maker, if you mop floors, whatever you do, you didn't figure it out on your own. Somebody taught you how to teach. Somebody taught you how to be a CEO. Somebody was your mentor. Somebody told you how to hold the mop. I remember my first year, not my first year, it was my first summer out of high school before I went to college. I went to work for a plumbing company. Now, here's the thing. I was like the low man on the totem pole. I was worse than the low man on the totem pole. I mean, I was the guy that carried the water. I was the guy that carried the shovels. I got to dig holes, but I got to carry the shovels. And here's the thing. Do you know what it's like when you're 17 years old and you know everything about everything, and somebody comes over to you and tells you that if you'll hold the shovel a different way, that you'll be able to dig a trench twice as fast? Now, come on. Come on. Here's the thing. Even I had to learn to hold a shovel in such a way that I could shovel that hole or that trench twice as fast. Everything that you've done big in your life, somebody's taught you how to do it. And what you're getting ready, I'm going to get into those seven steps in just a moment. What you're getting ready to embark on by going from fantasy to reality is doing something you've never done before. And you're going to have to embrace probably not just my advice, but you may have to embrace the advice of other people who are wiser, not not wiser than you as a husband, not wiser than you as a wife, not wiser than you as a CEO, not wiser than you as an old person with a bald head like me, but or an older person with a gray head like I'd have if it didn't all fall out. No, I'm serious. Because you may be older and wiser than me, but you're going to have to submit to the wisdom of what it's going to take to get from where you're at to where you want to go. And you're going to have to be able to step down and say, maybe these things work. So I'm getting ready to give them to you. I wanted to share all of that as a preface because I don't want you writing this stuff off. What I'm getting ready to share with you is probably the most important thing I've taught all year. And I hope it's not the most important thing I teach the rest of the year, but it could sure well be. I don't know because I don't know what I'm going to teach next week and then the week after that. But right now, I believe what I'm getting ready to share with you, the most important thing all year long. And so if 3 months ago you learned something about email marketing, you learned something about a website, or you got a shift, and you're like, wow, that's really cool. What I'm getting ready to share with you is going to be better than that, but it may not feel like it when I'm giving it to you. Let's get started. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about this fantasy idea. Because right now, it's a germ in your mind, as it's a mustard seed in your mind, it's not real. Just like that skyscraper that old person is talking about, I'm going to buy the land and I'm going to put a skyscraper on it, and I've been meaning to do it for 50 years, but I wasn't going to be able to scrape down the down payment, and then I couldn't find the right workers, and you know, somebody stole from me, and for that person, building that skyscraper is a fantasy. I hate to say it, but unless something changes, he's going to die with that fantasy in his mind. It never becomes reality. And the thing is, if what you have right now is not reality, it's somewhere along the line of being a fantasy. I don't remember who it was that said it. It's not my notes. I don't have it right. But I believe it was Thomas Edison, but maybe he got it from somebody else. Said a vision without implementation is a hallucination. A vision without implementation is a hallucination. So maybe I'll alter that and say a vision or a dream without turning it into reality is a hallucination or a fantasy. And so right now, until you do something with it, it's a fantasy. It's a dream. It's a vision. The problem is so many people have dreams and visions that feel solid when they dream them. They feel solid when they write them down. But if you don't do anything with that vision or that dream for 5 years except study about it and think about it, it's a hallucination or a fantasy. One of the things I told you that I was going to share with you today is the one thing that it's going to take to move your fantasy to reality. And I'm actually scared to give this to you because if I give this to you, you know, you may say, well, if you give this to me, then I don't need the 7 steps. And so you know what? On the fly, I'm going to change things around in my outline. I have one thing next. I'm going to give you the one thing after the 7 steps. We're going to do the 7 steps. I am scared that somebody's going to hang up right now once they get the one thing. Because if you get the one thing but you don't have the 7 steps, you won't be able to make the one thing happen. Actually, you will, but then you won't be able to make the dream happen. You'll have the one thing, but even the one thing won't get you there. I got to give you the 7 steps. Let me go ahead and give them to you. Let me give you the first two, and then I'm going to talk about the people, some people who have taken their fantasy to reality. Here's the first thing you got to do. You've got to build a vision of what that reality is going to look like. I mean, you've got to build a real vision. And I shouldn't use the word vision because I've been talking about it's a vision or a dream. So let's use a different word. You need to build a movie script in your mind for that reality. You see, I can lay on my bed at night as I'm going to sleep. I can lay on my bed as I'm waking up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, or if I wake up at 2 o'clock and can't sleep. And I can run my reality of the future through my mind. I can think about it. Sometimes I'll envision the groups of people I'm speaking to. I'll be standing on a mat. In fact, I remember when I was about 12 years old, there was a vacant piece of property about, I don't know, half a mile from the house. Maybe not even that. It was 3 or 4 blocks. And I can envision today. In fact, there's this part of me that wants to go back. I haven't been there in years. Go back and look at that piece of property and see what's there. But I had this vision of a building, a huge building, and we would invite people into this building so that I was one of the folks that were involved, so that I would give, be able to give life the wisdom that would be able to take people to the next level. I'm able to lay in bed and take this reality and think about it for 30, 45 minutes, an hour of what the website's going to look like when it's finished. You know, we've been building something amazing behind the scenes over the course of the development's been several years. The ideas have been longer than that. But over the course of like the last 6 months or so, really getting the nuts and bolts together and building. And I can just vision what it's going to look like when it's 100 times bigger. I can vision that. I can see that in my mind. It's like a movie script that runs. It's a movie script that runs when I'm standing in front of people and I'm teaching them. It's a movie script that runs when I'm sitting across from people that are building and changing. You know what? Right now, I've got this movie script that's running through my mind, and it's thinking about you right now. You're hearing the sound of my voice. If you're live with me right now, if you're listening to this as a recording in the future, I'm thinking about the fact that right now you could be getting the seeds of change in your life so that you can take whatever it is in your life and make it a reality. The very first step is your reality has to be real in your mind. If you're hoping or dreaming that something will happen, you'll probably never get there. Now, a lot of folks will come to me and they'll say, well, I don't know exactly what my reality is going to look like, so I just don't dream about it. Here's the thing. You can change the movie script of your reality every single day if you want. But if you don't have something to work towards, you have nothing. It's just like writing a book. I remember when I wrote my first book. I wrote this outline in my first published book. When I wrote this, because I wrote a number of books before that that weren't published. My first real published book. I wrote this outline. I actually wrote like a draft. It was like three quarters of whatever it was. And then I got burnt out or something, and I left it for 6 to 9 months. When I came back to it, I practically rewrote the whole thing. Does that mean that what I did initially was a waste? No, it was not a waste, because that was the seed of what I was able to look towards. If I hadn't put that down, I had nothing to look towards. But then once it was complete, I said, you know what, or three quarters complete, I said, I'm going to rewrite the whole thing. I was able to use parts, move pieces around. We have to have a reality to start with. When George Lucas was scripting Star Wars, he went through four full drafts. And from what I understand, each one of them was significantly different than the other one. Should he have just skipped the first three? He'd have never gotten to the fourth draft if he didn't do the first one. Because he did the first one, and then he was able to sit back and he was able to say, these are all the things that are wrong, and then he changed it and he did a different script. And then the final draft was not what the movie looked like, because he had to hire these costume people and he hired artists and he hired, like, I don't know, hundreds of people that were able to interpret what he had. He couldn't do it all on his own, so the movie didn't even look like what his fourth draft was. Does that mean that the movie was not real? Because, well, of course not. And think about it. Star Wars. It was a real movie, whether you like it or not. It was a real movie, but it didn't happen from the first draft, the second draft, the third draft. It didn't even happen from the fourth draft. The fourth draft ended up being basically a guide for the producer and for the costume people and for the designers, the spaceship designers, for what things were going to look like. The artist that he hired helped design what a lot of things were going to look like. Does that mean that here's the thing, if George Lucas for years and years didn't have the idea and the picture in his mind of what some of that reality was going to look like, it never would have happened. So you are holding yourself back if you're like, well, I don't know what it's going to look like in the end, so I just don't think about it. If you don't think about what it's going to look like in the end, even if you have to change it every single day for the next 3 years, if you don't have a picture in your mind of what it looks like, you'll never do it. Ever. You talk to people that run marathons. If they don't have a picture in their mind of the finish line, they'll never do it. Why? Because at mile 20, when their feet hurt and they've got a blister, they've had a blister since mile 15. But now at mile 20, the blister starts bleeding and there's blood oozing out of their sneakers. Why don't they stop the finish line? That's why they don't stop. They're just hurting. They've got cramps because they don't have enough calcium or magnesium or potassium or sodium, or they drank too much water. They didn't drink enough. They've got diarrhea. Why don't they quit at mile 21 or mile 22? It's because they have a vision of the finish line. You see, if they didn't know where they were going to and they didn't know there was a finish line and they were just, it was just, okay, well, run till you quit. They'd quit when they saw the first drop of blood, wouldn't they? Maybe they're a real tough person. They'd quit after a mile of blood. But they don't quit. Why? Because they know that in 5 or 6 more miles, there's a finish line. Here's the thing. If you don't know where your finish line is, you'll quit. Seriously, if you don't know where your finish line is, you'll quit. If you're building your online business or your big dream, your nonprofit dream, whatever you're building, if you're building it and you don't know what your finish line is, I don't care if the finish line changes tomorrow, but if you don't know what your finish line is today and you're just like, I'm just going to do all the work I can do today. That's what you've been doing for 5 years. I'm doing all the work I can do today. Hopefully in 5 years it'll add up to something. Trust me, it'll never add up to something. I hate to put anybody's dreams down, but I'm going to tell you this. If all you're doing is your best every day, it'll probably and you're not doing your best towards a reality. You're just doing your best every day. It's probably never going to happen. Imagine if you went to college and there was no tests. You never had to show up for a final. You just have to do your best every day. Now at age 44 or 64, you could do your best every day and have a 4-year degree done in 2. But when you were 18 years old, was your best every day studying enough every single day to pass the final if you didn't know when the final was? Maybe if you're 1 of 100 really, really smart, disciplined people, maybe you could be that 1 in 100 person. But for the other 99 of us, I couldn't have done it. My best every day wouldn't have gotten me a degree. But if I knew that on October 15th there was a midterm exam, and on December 1st, I had to have the 10-page paper written, and on December 15th, I had to pass the final exam, and if I didn't get A's or B's, I couldn't go back, then it gave me the motivation to go because I had a reality in my mind. If you're going to get your thing created, whatever it is, your business, your online business, your dream-changing thing, your million-person business, your big business idea, whatever you're doing, if you're going to get there, you've got to have a reality in your mind. It has to be today. If it's not today, you might as well stop reading emails, you get off social media, stop buying training, stop coaching, quit everything. Go take a vacation for 3 months until you figure out what your reality is. I'm going to go backwards about 10 years of my life. I remember when I started this business. I'd written an ebook and I tried to sell it and it hadn't done real well, but I learned an awful lot about marketing. Fast forward to the end of the summer and I went and visited my sister and I sat down on her deck and it was sun shining and I laid out and I probably got burnt and I was at the age when it was really cool to get burnt. You get burnt, and hopefully it turned brown. It doesn't all peel in a couple of days. Went to the beach, and I laid on the beach for 10 or 15 days, and I thought, I like this lifestyle, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. But obviously, I already had a business model that was in mind, so it wasn't like, I don't know if I'm going to build a skyscraper or, what I'm going to do. But I had this idea. But I'm going to learn the online business. I'm going to find a way to change people's lives such that they'll pay me for changing their life, just like I've done in the past. I'm going to give you one more story, and we've got to get back to reality here. I remember, and unfortunately, I didn't keep a diary at that time, and I should have, and so I can't tell you who the people were. And I've told this story, so I'm giving you this story based on telling this story repeatedly in the past. But if I remember correctly, there were 2 or 3 instances where I went for a job interview. And it was a job interview for something. They wanted somebody to do something, but I could do it like a few times better. I won't say 10 times better, but I could do it better. And so I wanted them to pay me more than what they were advertising because I wanted to create a program for them that did things at a much bigger level. And I remember the concept, and if I remember, I wish I'd have written it all down so I could just say, okay, this is what I said at this time. But I'll tell you the way that I remember it is, look, I get that that's what your budget is, but I believe I can do this much more for you, and I'm willing to work for free for the first 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And at the end of that time, you just determine what you're going to pay me. Because I had so much faith that we were going to get there and we were going to do it and I was going to make things happen. I was going to change things for them. I had this reality of what I was able to do, had so much confidence in what I was able to do that I was able to say, look, you don't even have to pay me a penny. We can set the salary 3 weeks or a month from now once you see what I'm made out of. And that's what happened when I started this business. I knew where I was going and I knew. And in order to get paid well, I had to deliver good value. And so the question was, what do I have to do to give good value so people will pay me? And I've spent a good bit of time and learning and figuring out what do I have to do to give good value and then convince people to pay me for that good value. That was my reality at the beginning of this journey about 10 years ago. Now my reality is like 100 times bigger than that, and I'm working towards that reality. Notice that I use the words, I'm working towards that reality. If you're not working towards a reality, you're just doing your best every day, you'll probably never get there. It's kind of like raising children. If every day all you say is, I'm just going to do my best, but you don't know what your best means, are you going to do your best to get your children to graduate from high school when they're 40? Or are you going to do your best to get them to graduate when they're 18 and go to school for 8 years so they can make a good living, so they can take care of their family and they can take care of you when you're old? Because if you don't know what your reality is, you're just like, well, I'm just going to go through my day. I'm going to do the best I can. When Johnny turns 21, you may have done the best you can, but you know what? He's not ready to go out on his own because you haven't taught him to cook because you were doing the best you can. You were cooking for him. You wanted him to have the best meals, so you never taught him how to cook. And you wanted him to get the best rates, so you did all his homework for him. And you wanted him to have the best dates, so you asked all the girls out for him. And he never was able to figure anything out on his own. You did your best, but you didn't have a reality that you were shooting for. But if you had this reality that when he was 18, he was going to move out and go to college, and when he was 22, he was going to move from college to having a good job, and when he was 26, he was going to ask the right girl to marry him, and that's what you were working for, you know what? You'd suffer through some burnt meals to teach Johnny how to cook, and you'd suffer through some bad dates so he could learn how to ask girls out on his own, and you'd suffer through, you know, driving as a passenger so he could learn how to drive and hopefully you don't crash. Why? Because you knew what you were working towards. And folks, I know that I'm beating a dead horse right now, okay? But trust me, it doesn't hurt the horse. He's already dead. Here's the thing. And by the way, I'm an animal lover. You have no idea how much I love that little dog of ours. So, talk about getting. I mean, when I go into these modes where I'm more emotionally persuasive and I'm spurring you to creativity and innovation, and I'm not just following some logical guide, sometimes I go off in these rabbit trails. So bring Sean back in. We got to get to point number two. Here's the bottom line to it all. You need a reality. And if you don't have a reality that you're shooting for, you need to close the computer when we finish talking, and you need to close email, and you need to close your cell phone. And I don't care if you need to walk to the beach, if you need to go to walk to the playground, if you need to walk to the forest, and if you don't live near a mountain or a forest or a beach, maybe you just need to take a three-day vacation. And I'm serious, just take a three-day business vacation, lock yourself in a forest outside of a hotel room. They would do it the civilized way so that you can go to the bathroom in the hotel room. But I'm serious, just for 3 days, maybe you need to have a sabbatical from everything in your life. You turn the computer off, just take a stack of paper and some pens or pencils and just you and your mind and walk till you've got blisters and come back in 3 days with a reality on paper. A reality on paper, because you need something to shoot for. Step number two. This is a fun one. This is a fun one. Here's the problem. Half of you or a third of you do this all the time, but you don't do any of the other steps. The other half of you do all the other steps, but you don't do this one. So you got to identify what camp you're in. And if you're in the camp that says, oh, I do that all the time, Sean, just turn me off for 5 minutes, because you don't need what I'm getting ready to say. Because if you take what I'm getting ready to say and you say, okay, well, Sean says to do that, and I'm doing it all the time, and I'm failing, what's wrong? It's because you're not doing the other six things. But for those of you that are not doing what I'm getting ready to tell you, you got to start doing it. You've got to constantly be on the lookout for ideas to add into your reality. And I notice I said add into your reality. I didn't say constantly on the lookout for ideas. Because you know what? As entrepreneurs, we get ideas all day long, don't we? I probably get 5 ideas a day. But if I operated on every single one of them, I wouldn't have a business today. I would have 5 ideas times 300 days. I'd have 15 ideas a year started but never implemented. You got to choose one idea and run with it. So what I'm talking about is your big reality, you're constantly on the lookout for ideas to put into your reality. Just like Oprah Winfrey, she's constantly on the lookout for people to have on her show. Just like George Lucas, when he was writing Star Wars, when he was thinking about Star Wars, he was on the lookout. He was reading comic books, and he was watching the old science fiction movies, and he was watching the old, science fantasy movies, and he was reading the fairy tales, and he was learning about how to write stories. What was he doing? He was looking constantly on the lookout for ideas. What did Steve Jobs do? You know what drove it home for me? When I read the biography of Steve Jobs, and I read that the way that he, you know, I'm using a Mac right now, and I've got one of those Macs that I don't know if they all do, but mine does. It's got that little magnetic cord that plugs the power cord into the thing, and if I walk by my computer and trip over it, I'm not going to break my computer. It's just going to pull out. You know where he got the idea? He was in, I believe it was Japan, and he saw that in Japan they had these, and this was like 40 years ago, folks, they had these crock pot things, and so the crock pot wouldn't fall on the floor if you tripped. They had a disconnectable, I believe it was magnetic power cord, and he thought, I can put that. He was constantly on the lookout. He said, I'll put that on my computers. Constantly on the lookout for ideas. You've got to be constantly on the lookout for ideas to put into your reality, because if your reality has not changed in the last year, you could say, well, you know what? I'm a hardy person. I'm 65 years old, and I'm set in my ways. I'm good at what I do, and when I set my mind to something, I don't change my mind. But guess what? You're probably too inflexible to build a business. You see, there's two ways to try to build a business and fail. One is to be flexible like a noodle, changing your mind every single day. You'll never make anything happen. But the other way is to be so inflexible that you say, I can't get any new ideas because if I do, I have to change my reality. And if I change my reality, it means I'm wishy-washy and I'll never make anything happen. Absolutely not. You got to be the best of both worlds. You got to have a reality that's fixed, but then, and fixed, and you're dedicated to making that reality happen. But then when that reality has a new idea tomorrow, you got to be willing to shift your reality just a little bit, just like when somebody's making a movie and a scene doesn't look right, they have to change it. They can't just say, you know what, well, I wrote that script, and I'm really good at what I write, so we have to produce it the way that I said. And then the people don't like it, it doesn't get good reviews. You got to be willing to admit that sometimes you're wrong and have ideas to plug in there. The next thing I want to do, those are steps two, one and two. So build your vision of reality and then constantly look out for ideas to add in. I told you that I was going to give you some ideas of individuals who have taken a fantasy to reality. I'm going to give you five. One of them is going to be me, and I already started to talk about that. But if you remember, I told you that when I was starting this business, my reality for the future was to change the world and to change it in such a way that people got so much value that they would pay me such that I'd be able to live a lifestyle that didn't mean I was tied to a cubicle anymore. That was my reality. I'm going to change the world in such a way that people want to pay me to get more. That was my reality. And that was a fantasy at the beginning, and over the course of the last 10 years, I built that reality, and I've got a bigger reality for the next 10 years, and now I'm working on that. I want to tell you about four other people. One of them, George Lucas. I already talked about that. His fantasy was to build a science fantasy type of movie that would eclipse everything that had already been done. He wanted to share some philosophy in that movie. Right or wrong, good or bad, he wanted to share some philosophy in that movie. And it was a fantasy until he did it. And then once he did it, it became a reality, and it was lots of hard work. Some maybe 20-hour days and almost a nervous breakdown and all kinds of amazing things that he went through to produce that first movie. But you know what? He took it from a fantasy to a reality. How about Steve Jobs? I don't remember exactly what his initial fantasy looked like. I don't remember exactly what his initial fantasy looked like. But whatever that fantasy was, he was able to roll that fantasy into the reality of the amazing computers that we have today. How about Oprah Winfrey? I don't remember, and I've read her story before, and I don't remember what her initial fantasy was. I believe it was to be a television producer. I think that was her original fantasy, was to become a television producer. And if you don't know her story, you should probably read it. But the truth is that most people that had the kind of childhood that Oprah Winfrey had do nothing with their lives. Do nothing. Worse than nothing. They end up into a spiral of dope and drugs. They land in jail. They do bad things. Their lives are ruined. But was Oprah Winfrey's life ruined? No. Because she took her fantasy and did what it took to make it a reality. How about Donald Trump? okay, like him or love him, hate him or love him or whatever. You're just throwing him in the mix, all right? I'm just going to throw him in the mix because right or wrong, good or bad, like him or not, the truth of the matter is he's moved a fantasy to a reality. He's moved a fantasy to a reality. He had a fantasy of building these big buildings, and he did it. You say, oh, well, he was a big failure, and he had a few bankruptcies and blah, blah, blah. Right or wrong doesn't make any difference when we just talk about this particular situation. Not even situation, but concept of going from fantasy to reality. Failure after failure after failure, reality. You know, you look at, you know, whatever's going on with, you know, moving from, you know, being in the business world to being in the political world. Guess what? For a really long time, that was a fantasy. And yet the things that he's doing right now are reality. They may not be right. They may not be wrong. They may not, I mean, they might just be so crazy it's not even funny. But it doesn't, but the truth of the matter is his fantasy is becoming his reality. And here's the thing. I've thrown four names out there plus mine. If you were to take the time, and can I say this? I read a lot of biographies. And I like reading biographies because they help me stay grounded. I may be going through a tough time, and I read a biography of somebody that's been through a tough time, and I read how they've suffered through something that was worse than what I'm going through, and it gives me strength to keep going. I see people that are turning fantasies into reality, and if you read their stories, if you read a biography of George Lucas, if you read a biography of Steve Jobs, if you read a biography of Oprah Winfrey, if you read a biography of Donald Trump, if you read those biographies, you will begin to notice commonalities between them all. Woman or man, varying skin colors, varying abilities to speak, varying abilities of loquacity, varying abilities of intelligence, varying managing styles. The truth of the matter is the fight that they went through to take their fantasy to reality is very similar, all four of them, George, Steve, Oprah, and Donald. Very, very similar pattern to go from fantasy to reality. Let's go to step three. You got to keep your vision forefront. Whatever that reality is, you got to keep it forefront. I don't know that a day passes when I don't think about my future, my reality. I don't spend much time on the past. I mean, once this minute's gone, I'm usually done. I mean, seriously, I don't worry about yesterday much. I don't worry about tomorrow much. I dream. I dream. And I think a lot about the future. And I think about what it's going to take to get to the future, and I think about that reality. I'm not going to just continue to, you know, pee the dead horse on this one. Keep that vision forefront. Return to that vision every single day. Some of you may have to do it morning and night. I don't have a personal vision board, and please don't devalue me because I don't do a vision board. But here's the thing. Why do vision boards work? There's nothing special about them. They work because they keep that vision forefront. You see it in the morning, and you see it at night, and you see it at the bathroom, and that's what that's for. You know, you talk about positive affirmations, they don't do anything for you at all. They don't make you successful. What makes you successful is every time you say that positive affirmation, you're reminding yourself of the vision. Just keep that vision forefront, whatever you have to do. Whether it's a vision board or it's positive affirmations or it's telling your wife or your husband what you're going to do and understanding wife or husband, or your best friend, your enemy, whatever you have to do to keep that vision forefront, keep that vision forefront. Step number four, you got to start. You see, many of you are afraid that your reality is going to change, so you're afraid to start today because if you do something today, you might waste your effort. You want to tell you the truth? I don't know what the number is because I don't keep track of it. I would estimate that between 90 and 95% of everything I've done in business in the last 10 years was for nothing. Why'd you do it? Because I wouldn't have gotten to the 5% that's gold. Seriously. 90% of the people that join my list, and I don't know the exact number, but, you know, 80 to 90% of the people that join my list is just a subscriber, probably never buy from me. And I say probably only because if it's 79% or it's 82%, I don't want to get the number wrong. The truth of the matter is most people that join my list never buy from me. Most people that buy once probably never buy again. You say, well, why do you sell anything? Why do you teach? If most people don't buy and most people that buy don't buy again. You know why? Because I can change the lives of the ones that really like me after they buy and they get some training and they like me and then they continue to learn from me month after month after month and grow. It's the 5% that I'm doing all this for. The other 95% can get value from it. I'm doing it for that 5%. And I'm also doing it for the other 95%, but I can't measure my success by those things. 90 to 95%, I estimated, the things that I've done in the last 10 years have probably been failures. But if I didn't go out there and try and do it, I'd never know that it was failure, and I'd never get to the 5%. And some of you are so afraid of failing that you do nothing. Wouldn't it be better to do 100% tomorrow and find out that 95% of what you did tomorrow was a failure, but the 5% was reality? And if you 5% became reality, wouldn't it be better than doing nothing? Folks, you got to start. Can I say that again? You got to start. If you're afraid of starting, remember, 90 to 95% of everything I do is likely a failure. 90 to 95% of the time that I spend is probably a waste. May not be now because I've done so much optimization in my day that I really believe I get probably 50% of my time is productive now. It's probably not even that, 40%. And imagine if I were to just quit doing all the other 60% that's not productive and just do the 40%, I could work 60% less. And I've done that kind of iteration, you know, in the past, and you can do that iteration in your own life. But the truth of the matter is you'll never know what the 80% is that needs to be cut out if you do nothing. You've got to be willing to fail in order to succeed. If you're so scared of failure, you'll never succeed. You might as well stop trying. Because if you just keep trying but you don't start, you have nothing. If all you do is study and study and learn and learn and learn, and you don't do anything, you'll never make anything happen. So you got to start. Number five, you've got to bridge the gap between where you are now and your reality. Where do you want to be? Now, the problem with this is because I don't know what your reality is, so I can't tell you what those steps are. But and you can't even do that until you know what your reality is. You've got to go back and do number one and build that vision of reality, even if it takes you 3 days in a forest or 3 days in a hotel room or 3 days somewhere where there's no interruptions and there's no computers and there's no nothing. And you've got to figure out what that reality is. But once you have that reality, you've got to take out a sheet of paper, I don't know, a tablet or whatever. You've got to write down all the things that you want to have in place, and then you've got to look in and you've got to say, okay, what has to happen to make this piece happen? What has to happen? And you're going to have to go out there and study and learn how to do it. You see, it's time for you to stop learning how to start and start starting and learn how to do each one of the steps and implement them as you go. You have got to build a plan, a blueprint. It's got to look like a blueprint almost. It's got to have little blue boxes and yellow boxes and orange boxes, and it may need to be on a big bulletin board. You may need to write it out. You must build a picture of what bridging the gap is going to look like. What's it going to take to get you from here to where you want to go? You got to write all those steps in. If you don't know the answer, you got to find the answer. Okay, now the problem with talking about this is that some of you will make the list of 25 things that you need to do, and you know how to do 20 of them, but you're scared of step number 21 because you don't know how to do it, and you'll spend the next 5 years trying to learn how to do 21. Far better yet, go do steps 1 through 20. When you get to 21, you'll probably know how to do it. And if you don't, then take lessons to learn how to do it and just implement the lessons, because the problem is if you start taking lessons for step 21 right now, you won't remember how to do step 21 when it gets to it. You ever done that? You're trying to fix something on your car, and you read the entire instructions, all 27 steps. You try to memorize it, and then when you go to do step one, you forget it. You got to go get the pictures out again. You got to go get the instruction manual out again. You remember step 27, but you don't. I remember the first time when I bought my first truck. I bought the manual, if I remember correctly, the very first day I bought the manual on how to do things, and I had to replace the brakes. And so I opened the book to the page on how to replace the brakes, and it had like 27 steps, and I had to get in the car. I had to literally had the book open next to me. And I'm like, okay, step one, I go do it, and I have to go back and look. And step two, if I had tried to do step 15 or learn step 15 before I had done the first 15 steps, I could never have replaced those brakes. You've got to be willing to do it step by step, but you've got to draw out the best plan that you can. You can change that plan every day. It's like if you're building a 100-story skyscraper, you've got to write down, put wiring in it. Because if you build this huge skyscraper and there's no electricity in the building when you're done, boy, you've got big problems, don't you? Got to draw this thing out. Then you're going to have to bridge the gap between where you're at and getting to reality. You're going to have to find a way. And see, I can't tell you what that way is because I don't know what you're building. If you're building an online business, if you're building an orphanage, if you're feeding hungry children, if you're saving people from divorce, whatever it is, you are going to have to find out the specialized knowledge. You're going to have to do the research to find out what it is. But notice, folks, that this is step five. Don't do step five until you've done steps one through four. If you skip to step five and you skip steps one through four, you'll never get where you want to go. Step number six, constant reevaluation. Folks, probably every single day of my life, I mean, with rare exception, do I not look at my reality and say, what do I need to change? Did I buy a new traffic source yesterday and find I wasted my money? Am I going to cry about it? Nope. I'm going to try another one today. Do I write a sales letter that nobody responds to? I might cry about it right now, but once I have lunch, I'm going to come back and I'm going to go live. Do I create a website that nobody cares about? I might cry about it today, but you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, you know what? Why didn't it work? What can I do? Constant reevaluation. If you're not constantly reevaluating, then you're going to be building a 15-year-old dream. Seriously, some of you are building a 5-year-old dream. You're still trying to build something from 5 years ago that's no longer relevant. In fact, that hurts me. Every once in a while, I have a client that brings to me something, and they're like, you know, Sean, you told me to do this 5 years ago, and I had all these problems in my life, and so I finally did it yesterday. And I feel like ripping the hair out of my head that's not there. I feel like crying. I feel like ripping their ears off. You know why? Because what I told them to do was relevant 5 years ago. But it wasn't relevant 4 years or 3 years or 2 years or 1 year ago. It wasn't relevant yesterday, and they just wasted their time. Why? Because it took them 5 years to implement. Folks, you've got to work on your reality today. You've got to make your reality work for the day, and you can't live in the past. If you had a dream 5 years ago about how you were going to open up a soup kitchen in your town because there was not one, if you don't get the fact that three people beat you to your vision in your town, three people beat you to your vision in your town, you don't need another soup kitchen in your town. What you do need is shoes for homeless people. And what you need is to make a little factory to do that. But you don't need a soup kitchen because you know what? Three people beat you to it. I was on Amazon the other day. Oh my, I had a real moment. Because just a couple of days ago, I was evaluating some of the book scripts that I've got on my computer for books that are partially written. One of them, I was just going to change the world. Somebody has written the book in last year. In fact, it was just published like a month ago. Somebody has written the book. I mean, the intro to the book is almost word for word. I would say what I would have written, but it's almost word for word, I think, with what my own introduction is on the book that I never wrote. I'm going to tell you something crazy, and I don't know how it works, okay? So please, please don't criticize me for this. I'm just going to share a transparent thing, okay? I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why. I don't know how. And some of you will go, oh, God does it. And then some of you will go, oh, some force does it. And then others of you will say, oh, it's coincidental. I'm not going to label it anything, but I'm going to tell you this. Have you ever noticed how when an idea whose time has come, it's like 100 people are working on it. 150 years ago when electricity was almost here, there were a lot of people working on it. Some of them didn't even know each other were working on it. Have you ever noticed that like 10 books come out the same month on the same topic and they were all started 10 years or 5 years or 3 years ago simultaneously but by different people that didn't know each other? Have you ever noticed that in the scientific community, sometimes somebody discovers a formula, writes it all out on a sheet of paper, forgot to submit it to the scientific journal, and a month later, somebody else submits the exact same thing? They didn't steal it. They didn't even know who the person was. If you read a bit about science, you'll notice that that happens a lot. Now, I believe that somehow, somewhere, when an idea whose time has come comes, multiple people are given the idea. Now, maybe sometimes God gives it. Maybe sometimes it's floating in the air. Maybe I don't know. But all I know is, if you ever notice how sometimes when you get an idea for a new invention and you do nothing with it, 1 year later it's on TV. You ever notice that? I have. I've noticed that kind of thing. Here's the thing. The idea that's inside of you today, if you don't run with it, somebody else probably is. The question is, do you want to change the world with your idea, or you just want to sit back and be lazy and let somebody else do it? You got to decide. Do you want your name, and it's not even your name, it's not even recognition, but do you want to do what you've been called to do in this world, or do you want to sit back and let somebody else do it? Because if you don't do it, and it's a good idea, probably somebody else is going to do it. You got to constantly reevaluate. Number seven, folks, you have got to keep your dream alive. Number seven, folks, you must keep your dream alive. But here's the thing. Some of you have had a dream for 5 or 10 years, and then you had a death in the family. And then when you came back, you trashed the old dream and you started a new one. And then you had a relationship breakup in your family. And then you trashed that dream and you started a new one in 2 years. Folks, I would submit to you, almost everybody, if you are on this call and you have not had a rough year in the last five, if one of your last 5 years has not been rough, you better just count your blessings. Because me and almost everybody else on this call has had at least one rough year in the last 5 years, whether it's financial or whether it's relational or whether it's your health. Every one of us, with almost no exception, has probably had one bad year in the last five. Some of you have had five bad years. Sometimes I look at those years and I say, it's easy for me to say there were bad things that happened. But you know what the truth of the matter is? Net, they were positive in the end. The truth of the matter is, I've had to fight tooth and nail for the last few years for some things in my life that are dear to me, that are just dear to me. People, relationships, I had to fight tooth and nail. I've had to pull out the swords and fight. And you know what? If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you probably had to fight a battle in the last 5 years. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to take your dream from vision or dream to reality, you're going to have to fight for it. Because the truth of the matter is, if almost all of us have had 1 year in the last five that was rough, what's the truth of the matter? One of the next 5 years is going to be rough. And here's the thing. Whatever that rough, I don't want to be gloom and doom, but let's face it. The truth of the matter is, we're probably all going to have a rough year in the next five. Something in our life is going to be rough. It's not going to be all roses. And if it is, it's going to come on a thorny stem. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to make your reality happen, and it's a 5 or 10 year reality, you're going to have to weather the storm and keep your reality alive. You're going to have to weather the storm and keep your reality alive. You're going to have to buck up and say, I'm going to weather the storm. I'm going to make it happen. Now, I want to get off of this negative topic. I want to review the seven steps. Step one, build a vision of reality. You must have a vision of reality. If you don't have a vision of what your reality is going to be when it comes true, you're wasting your time on doing everything else. You're wasting your time on social media. You're wasting your time listening to me. You're wasting your time listening to anybody else. You're wasting your time reading. You're wasting your time on everything. Unless whatever you're doing is helping you form that reality. I mean, if you just got a dream 5 days ago and I'm the first person you ever talked to, I'm not telling you to lose it, all right? But for most of you, you've been banging your head against the wall for 3 to 5 years with other people. That's why you found me. You must form a picture of your reality before you move on. Second thing is, you got to constantly be on the lookout for ideas to add in. Not ideas to jump around to, ideas to add in to your reality. You must keep your vision forefront. You must start. You must bridge the gap from where you are to where you want to go. You must create a blueprint on paper to get you there. Folks, I talk about on paper a lot, and these new kids coming up along, oh, I can do it on a tablet. You know what? You could draw it on a tablet, but here's the problem with a tablet. Is you put it in a little folder, and a year from now, you don't know where the folder is. But if it's a piece of paper, you can draw it out on your tablet if you want, but please print it out on a piece of paper and tape it into your office or your bathroom where you can remember where it is. Don't just let it go into a folder and it disappears. Constant reevaluation. You've got to constantly reevaluate the reality. Not so you can throw it out, but so that you can improve it. that you can take parts out, you can take parts in. You've got to constantly reevaluate your reality. And then you've got to keep that dream alive, folks. When the storms come, when the challenges come, when the wars come, when the fights come, when you've got to fight for your life, when you've got to fight for your family, when you've got to fight for a relationship, when you've got to fight for the money, when you've got to fight to keep your head above water, you must keep that dream alive. And I told you earlier on that I would give you the one thing that absolutely has to be in place. If you do these seven things, but you don't do this one thing, of course, if you do all seven things, you'll do this one thing. I'm going to give it to you now. I'm going to give it to you now. And please don't everybody hang up, all right? I want to push you to your reality. Before I do that, here's the one thing. You must have a willingness to see the dream all the way through with hard work. You've got to have a willingness to see the dream all the way through with hard work. If you do not have a willingness to see the dream all the way through, you will fail at all seven steps. You must have an internal desire, an internal motivator, not an external one. If your wife's nagging you to do it, it won't work. If your husband is harping on you to do it, it won't work. If your children are harping on you, it won't work. If your boss is harping on you, it won't. It's got to come from inside you. And if your wife is nagging or your husband's harping, you must find a way to develop an internal motivation, because you won't do it for a nagging partner. You won't do it for a harping partner. You won't do it for a yelling boss. You won't do it for an encouraging mentor. You'll do it for you, or you'll do it for God. But you will not do it for another person. It's got to be for you. It's got to be for you or for God, or it's got to be for something big. You've got to have a willingness to see that dream through inside of yourself. You've got to have a willingness to work hard to make it happen. You've got to have a willingness to pick up your weapons and fight to make it happen. You've got to have a willingness to be flexible. You've got to have a willingness to add ideas in. You've got to have a willingness to say every single day, I'm going to pull this thing out. And you know what? Today was a failure, but tomorrow is a new day. Now, folks, before we leave, I want to encourage you. And first of all, I hope that what I've shared with you today is going to help you put teeth to your vision or your dream or your fantasy. You see, many of you, you're hearing the sound of my voice. You've got this fantasy. You've got this dream. You've got this vision. There's no teeth in it. I hope that today I have spurred you to action. I have spurred you to have teeth. I hope you're feeling emotion right now. I hope that some of you are angry at your past and you're going to fix it for the future. Now, I hope that some of you are crying right now and you're going to move to. I don't hope everybody's angry and everybody's teary-eyed, but I hope that some of you are teary-eyed and you're going to push to the future. I hope some of you are angry and you're going to push to the future. I hope some of you are elated and you're going to push to the future. I hope that some of you are so excited about the future that you're going to move to the next level. I hope that some of you are so excited about having a seven-step plan right now to go from fantasy to reality, that when we get off this time together, you're going to go pull the trigger to make it happen. That's what I hope. I hope you're feeling some emotion. If you're feeling some, embrace it. If you're angry, go somewhere private and be angry until you work it out. Now, don't take your anger out on anybody, all right? I'm not suggesting that. But use that anger to form a plan. If you're crying, don't stop crying because you're afraid somebody's going to see you. Go to the forest and cry. If you need to cry some tears to move on, do it. Get them out. If you've got to be joyful and scream and yell and be joyful, go be joyful. Make it happen. Get excited. Do what it takes to roil yourself up emotionally. Because the truth of the matter is, if you go through what it is and you go through it in a logical fashion and there's no emotion, you'll probably never get to your reality. You want to get to your reality? I believe that you've got to stir up emotion inside of you and run with that emotion to make it happen. Folks, I want to encourage you. Take your fantasy, your vision, or your dream and make it a reality.